Start the day with Boomer and Geo. Mornings 6 to 10 on WFAN. WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York. And Odyssey Sports Station.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And sometimes love can mean different things to different people. But the Knicks are on an absolute heater right now. And I think it's one that will place them in the hearts of New Yorkers forever. What's up? This is EJ Stewart, EJ After Dark, rocking with you on the Fan for the next 5 hours. And we have a ton to get to in this show, including why it's important to speak the truth about Knicks fans, how the Knicks have exposed the shortcomings of the San Antonio Spurs, and why I think the Yankees are best equipped to handle this Aaron Judge injury. Number to call in, 888-808-1019. Let's get it. There are specific ways for athletes and teams to earn unconditional love in this city. Number one, play hard. Play hard, give maximum effort, the city will love you. Number two, display physical and mental toughness that embodies in many ways what it means to be a New Yorker. Number three, you need to be able to overcome adversity. And number four, of course, win a title. And the 2026 Knicks have already displayed three of the four traits needed to reach that unconditional love status. Whether this NBA Finals series ends in a sweep of the Spurs, a five-game gentleman sweep, or six games, or hell, even seven games, that seems very unlikely at this point, it won't matter. The journey to this point has ensured that when it is all said and done, the 2026 Knicks will go down as the most beloved team in the history of New York sports. 888-808-1019 is number to call. Now, I am very much of the Kobe Bryant adage. If you'll remember when they were playing the Orlando Magic, they won the first two games of the NBA Finals in, what was it, 2010? And they asked Kobe Bryant, like, hey, you're sitting at the podium, you know, why are you not smiling? Your team's up and you're playing well in the finals. He's like, what's there to be happy about? And the guy's like, you're up 2-0. He said, job not finished. Job finished? I don't think so. And I very much live by that motto as well when it comes to talking about where the Knicks are in this series. And the Knicks have secured a 2-0 series, but of course, 2-0 series lead, but of course, job not finished. But I picked the Knicks to win this series in six games. That, to be honest, is feeling quite conservative considering where they stand at this point, coming back to the Garden, already up 2-0. And I have seen nothing in this series to make me think that this won't end with the Knicks eventually hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy. So when I think about talking about this team and the historical context that is appropriate in many ways, many have pointed to the fact that this may either be one of the best teams we've ever seen or one of the best playoff runs we've ever seen in sports history. Both points certainly can be argued. I'm sure they'll be argued on this program today. And I'm more than happy to take your calls, 888-808-1019 on that. But in my years of sitting at this table and sitting in front of this mic, and I'm very blessed to be doing so, and talking to you about the great teams of today and of yesteryear, it has never been about what the run differential was for the 1986 New York Mets. It never was what the overall win total was for the 94 Rangers, or how many points total was scored by the 07 Giants. When you call on this station, none of you seem to remember that or bring that up or make that be the reason why you love and revere those teams so much. It's not about the stats. It's not about the data. It's about how they made you feel. And whether it's the 68 Jets, whether it's the 70 Knicks, whether it's the 96 Yankees, whether it's the 69 Mets, these are teams that galvanized the community. They brought grown men to tears. And they instilled hope to an entire city. All the things we are seeing currently from the 2026 New York Knicks. And again, I'm here to tell you right now that when it is all said and done, this team will go down as more beloved in this city than all of them. 888-808-1019. When I think about those important traits about this team that I mentioned earlier, let's talk about them in terms of why they meet the measure. When you talk about, number one, effort in playing hard, whether it's watching Josh Hart sky through hordes of Spurs for improbable rebounds or diving on the floor for loose balls that he has no business getting and somehow coming up with it, or is Jalen Brunson putting his body on the line to draw charges against guys that are twice his size most of the time, or OG Anunoby playing maniacal defense against guards of the Spurs that are quicker than lightning at this point. The way this team plays, routinely outworking its opponents and making these winning plays, is what makes this team special and will always be something that a lot of Knicks fans, when they look at this team, say that's something they could be proud of. Effort, playing hard, no problem with this team. You want to talk about mental and physical toughness? You want to talk about mental toughness? How about coming down from down 22 points against the Cavs in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals? Or let's talk about being down 14 against San Antonio in game one of the NBA Finals. That's the mental aspect of it. How about the physical aspect of it? Want to talk about Jalen Brunson injuring his knee in game one? Going back to the locker room, hobbling, comes back into the game, takes over the last three quarters of the game, takes over the fourth quarter, getting the Knicks to that improbable game one win on the road against San Antonio in the game in the NBA Finals? Or how about Mitchell Robinson literally playing with a broken hand? Self-inflicted maybe, but nonetheless, you want to talk about physical toughness. There was no way in hell Mitchell Robinson wasn't finding a way on the floor despite having to go under the knife last week. So when it comes to mental and physical toughness, this team has shown more than its fair share of mental and physical toughness. We talk about overcoming adversity. And I just mentioned, when I talked about the mental toughness, those second half comebacks that we will be talking about probably for the rest of our lives. But I can expand on that in a more macro way when we talk about overcoming adversity, because this is a team over the course of several years that has overcome heartbreak in several postseasons in a row. You can go back to 2023 when you're facing the Miami Heat and a bunch of guys get hurt and you lose an absolute heartbreaker in game six on the last possession. You can talk about 2024 when you basically run out of bodies in the NBA playoffs and you lose in game seven at home against the Indiana Pacers. We could talk about 2025, obviously, what happened in game one, blowing that big lead late, the Haliburton shot, and losing that series even though they had home court advantage. This is a team that has had to overcome major heartbreak that for a lot of other squads maybe would have sent them into the abyss when it comes to competing for championships because of how heartbreaking some of these losses have been. This team has overcome roster changes that sent beloved players away. They overcame a controversial coaching change, rumors of dissent in the locker room, all of that to make it to where they are right now, two wins away from winning an NBA championship. And that's the team aspect of overcoming adversity. But what about the individual aspect? Because I'm looking at a team full of guys that have had to overcome their own fair share of personal adversity. You want to talk about Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Deuce McBride, all former second-round picks. Jose Alvarado wasn't even drafted. The one guy they have that's a number one pick overall in the draft, Karl-Anthony Towns, for much of his career has been maligned as too soft and underachieving as a number one overall pick. Speaking of draft picks, want to talk about Mikal Bridges? I think many Knicks fans are in the light of F them picks in terms of how they're looking at that, but that was not the case for much of his career with Knicks so far. In fact, I've had plenty of people calling this station, calling me at 888-808-1019, telling me, man, if we didn't make that stupid Mikal Bridges trade, maybe we can get Giannis, or maybe we can get this guy, maybe we can get that guy. A lot of you guys looked at that trade as the impediment to the Knicks becoming a championship caliber team. Now you're watching Mikal Bridges playing the best basketball of his life, playing for the New York Knicks with, again, a level of focus and energy and effort that we have not seen from him this entire time since he's been with the Knicks. Landry Shamet, who's become an unsung hero, guy barely made the roster. If Malcolm Brogdon doesn't decide to retire before the season, Landry Shamet is maybe playing on another team, or maybe playing in the G League, or overseas. All of these players had at some point had to get it out of the mud, and this is something that the city will always respect. Which leads you to the last aspect and the one thing they got to accomplish, which is to win an NBA championship. And where they are right now, two games away, they are right on the precipice of reaching that goal. And that's where I think the journey to getting to this point is so important when we talk about what makes a beloved New York sports team. And I think when we think about that journey for the franchise, it is why this particular team is so much more unique than many of those other championship New York teams that we speak about. Because to me, no other franchise here has had to come all the way back from the absolute abyss the way the Knicks had. Yes, the Yankee dynasty of the 90s and 2000, yes, they had dark years in the early 90s. But again, the amount of pain, the amount of misery, the amount of embarrassment for the organization, that amount of time was short-lived. You can make the case for a lot of these other teams we're talking about. Obviously, you know, the Jets in 68, you know, they basically just joined the NFL. It was new. The NFL didn't even exist, right? The Giants, yes, they were really bad in the 70s, and yes, that was a big part of why the 80s runs were so good, but it wasn't like what we saw with the Knicks, where you were on the front and the back pages for all the worst reasons, where you were consistently maligned as being the worst organization, maybe not just in the NBA, but in all of sports. And that is something that a lot of New Yorkers and a lot of this fan base has had to sit there and take all the LOL Knicks, take all the shrapnel coming in with the organization. A lot of it self-inflicted. This is a franchise. When we talk about that duration of pain, you're talking about 23 years with winning just one playoff series. From 2000 to 2023, they only won one playoff series in between then. So, speaking of droughts, when you talk about that long drought and why I feel like that's one of the reasons why seeing the team do what they do right now is so important. Obviously, winning just one playoff series is not the goal at this point. The bigger drought we talk about is the championship drought, which we know is 53 years. And that inevitably makes me think about one of the other most beloved teams in this city and of the same franchise in the 1970 and, of course, 73 Knicks. But thinking of the 70 team particularly, Willis Reed hobbling up and down the court, Walt Clyde Frazier dazzling for a game 7 for the absolute ages. It's a team that in many ways a lot of our seniors, a lot of our older folks still talk about to this day. The defense, the ball movement, the togetherness. Basketball of the absolute finest order is how you will hear people talking about the 1970 Knicks. But with so many of those older fans growing continually older, some of them unfortunately no longer with us just because of the time gap between championship wins, the group being the last team to win a title, that 1970s team, this year's team in many ways embodies that same defense, the ball movement, the togetherness, all those things will be spoken about in the exact same way we revere the likes of Clyde Frazier, Willis Reed, Bill Bradley, Earl Monroe, Dave DeBuscher, and everyone who played on those teams. And with so much of the city's allegiances in many ways divided between sports, because if you talk about football, you have a split between the Jets and Giants fans. When you talk about baseball, you have a split between the Yankees and Mets fans. When you talk about hockey, a lot of the Islanders don't necessarily play in the city. So much of this city loves the Islanders, and there's a split between the Rangers and Islanders. And yes, we do have the Nets here, but they are a new organization, a younger organization. But being far and away New York's basketball team makes, again, this Knicks playoff run so special. It's why so many folks are like, why? Like, we don't, I thought NFL was bigger here. I thought Major League Baseball was here. Why is this so important? Why has this become such a big thing? Because the Knicks are New York's basketball team. They are New York's team and New York's team only. It's why you see thousands packing the streets. It's why you see hundreds and hundreds packing bars all throughout the five boroughs, walking around in Knicks gear. It's a squad that is two wins away from immortality, and I think at this point in time, I have no doubt that they will get there and that they are up to the task. And when they do so, it's going to be a team that won't be just be speaking about for this year, won't be spoken about for a decade, won't be spoken about for one generation. It's going to be a team that's going to be spoken about four generations. We are witnessing history. We need to be grateful. We need to be, in the moment. And we absolutely cannot take this Knicks team for granted right now. Because you know what? They're not taking the Spurs for granted in these next two games either. They're playing like it's their life on the line. You hear every guy to a man. Series tied 0-0. Even though they're up 2-0. They've been saying this pretty much since the Atlanta series. Now, here they are in a series that's, in their mind, tied 0-0, but it's 2-0. And a Spurs team that is young, inexperienced, and is going to be walking into an absolute inferno at Madison Square Garden. I can't believe where we're at, but thank goodness we're here. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Will these Knicks go down as the most beloved team in the history of New York sports? I think the dynamic of the city, I think the team's magical run, I think the franchise's rise from the ashes all make this team particularly more special than any other sports team we've seen play in these parts. I want to hear from you. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's get a Frank, who's in Jersey City, wants to talk about this conversation. What's up, Frank?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, good, man.
Show as usual.
Thank you, man.
People, this is like almost a footnote to what you talked about. People forgot that the Nets won two major championships with the ABA before they were really dismantled. And that team, if that team had gone, I remember it when they sold Dr. J, almost cried. That team, if it went into the NBA intact, maybe one or two more experienced NBA players, they would have like ran right through the league. They probably would have won the championship the first year.
Yeah.
But nobody expected, or sort of like the AFL, nobody expected the Jets that one year to be so great. Same thing with the Nets. They're just a different type of basketball. So
yeah, there's still many older people on Long Island who still, they're Nets fans because of what Dr. J and those guys did in the ABA. They were an iconic team in their own right, so no question, they definitely deserve that praise as well.
I used to watch them on my little TV, and it was the games were on WOR when they played the NBA. It was some on CBS, and Dr. J did things he didn't do in the NBA, and it really literally looked like he was defying physics the way he moved and everything. And it was crazy, and it was every game. It wasn't just something like, well, you saw this and you saw that game.
Well, in many ways, Dr. J, he really was kind of like the blueprint for the modern wing. So, because before you had Dr. J, then you ended up having Michael Jordan. And then, of course, Michael Jordan leads to Kobe Bryant. And then Kobe Bryant leads to LeBron. And there's a bunch of great wings in between there. But, like, in many ways, Dr. J and what he was doing, the aerial ability, the smooth play, the inside-out play, a lot of that stuff started with him, and he would tell you that Connie Hawkins really is also his inspiration going way back. But, like, yeah, he was a special player, no question. But, Frank, I have to ask you,
Connie Hawkins, too.
Connie Hawkins, that's what I just said, yeah.
Completely forget about him.
Yeah, and Dr. J always says that he looked up to Connie Hawkins. But where do you feel like these Knicks stack up when we talk about these beloved teams in the history of New York? They win this title. Do you think that they take the title as also New York's most beloved team?
I think certainly, and I've never seen anything like this run, to be honest, and it's absolutely shocking what they've done. So I think they are going to unite most of New York, So, yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
I love the history talk, Frank. I love the great conversation. Thank you much for the phone call. I just think about, and Frank bringing up the Nets, it kind of extends my point in a weird way, because even though the Nets are a different franchise, I mean, if you're trying to find a basketball championship since 73, you got to go to another team in the 70s. That's the last time a basketball team has won a championship. And there's been a lot of conversation, and people take it personally that what I don't think is that necessary, but they take it personally because, you know, you're a baseball fan or you're a football fan or I'm a basketball fan or whatever. So we always take the personal thing of like, is this a football city or a basketball city or a baseball city? And like, I play that game too. I'm not going to pretend like I'm not part of that. I know I grew up playing basketball in New York City. I grew up as a diehard basketball fan. Now I love football. I love baseball. I ride really damn hard for some teams that do not give me much back of love when it comes to the Jets and the Mets. So you can't tell me how much I don't love baseball and basketball, baseball and football too. But basketball, I love the sport. It's what I played growing up. And when we have those conversations about, you know, is this a football, baseball, or basketball city, I just think that basketball in a weird way is part of the fabric of the city in many ways because so many young kids play basketball because of the nature of this being a winter city. You can't play football, you know, after December or January. You can't play baseball for two seasons out of the year. Like there's so many stretches where you have to just be cold inside of gyms. And of course, you know, the blacktop of New York City playgrounds and what that means to basketball, I think, is why the Knicks are so important to the city. It's why we call Madison Square Garden the Mecca of basketball. And the fact that this city, maybe it felt dormant. Maybe it's surprising to folks because it's like, ooh, the Knicks, I didn't know there was that many Knicks fans. Whatever. Well, yeah, because they haven't won. But just because they haven't won doesn't mean people aren't here. And then again, when we think about galvanizing a community, if the Jets go on a magical run, and I'm praying that they do, how and when that will happen, I have absolutely no idea given the current state of the team. But what I will say is, when that does happen, that is going to be phenomenal. That is going to be epic. And that is going to be something to see. It will not be what you are seeing right now. It will not be people flooding the streets of, I mean, again, one Jet Drive. I don't know where they would even just flood the streets. You can't flood the New Jersey Turnpike. You can't flood the highways outside of MetLife Stadium. The damn sure aren't going to be flooding just, I think, Midtown Manhattan or anything like that. Like, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. If it happens, and I do think it will happen, but it's going to be a long time from now. But, like, it's not going to look like this. It's just not going to look like this because there's going to be, at minimum, 50% of the fans who live in these areas who are going to be like, oh, good for the Jets, and they're going to move on. Or they're going to hate the Jets because they're Giant fans. And the Giant fans are a big part of this community, and it's vice versa. I've seen the Giants now win two Super Bowls. I know what that looks like in this city in these parts. It does not look like the fever that we are seeing with the Knicks playing for an NBA championship right now. It's not close. It's not close. I've seen the Yankees win too many championships. As a Mets fan, it drives me crazy. And congrats to you Yankee fans. I've seen it. I know what that looks like. I was a kid of the 90s going to school with all these Yankee fans. And I remember what that was. It was still incredible. It was crazy, especially winning in 96. It ain't like this. It ain't like this because of, I think, what basketball means to the city, and I think because of the dynamic of the Knicks being the only team, and like I said before, those other things. If this was a team of a super team like the Warriors, where it was just like they got Kevin Durant somehow, and they had all these Hall of Famers, or if it was like the Heatles with LeBron and Wade and Bosh, these guys just came together as carpetbaggers, it would be exciting, and yes, people would be going crazy, but I don't think the actual emotion that you're seeing, people, again, in tears. I'm watching, you know, shout out to Knicks Film School and Jonathan Macri. I'm watching people who have been covering this team, doing content creation for this team, in tears watching them win games in the NBA Finals. I'm thinking about myself watching fans going crazy that they clinched the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm watching the Radio City Music Hall going crazy. And I'm in my bed in the next morning in tears looking at this. This is sparking a different thing when we talk about what this team right now means to the city. 888-808-1019. I got a full phone lines, but make sure you call in. Now's the time you want to get in because this is going to be a fun conversation this morning and tonight. Are the Knicks set up to become the most beloved team in the history of New York sports if they win these next two games? I want to hear from you. 888-808-1019. But of course, I understand it is after midnight. And as someone who was riding in on, you know, Long Island Railroad trying to get into the station today, and I was in Penn Station for a little while, and I'm seeing people, y'all out here, y'all out in these streets. Yes, there's some Knicks fans out here, which I've seen, that's been really exciting. But I'm looking at the ladies and how they dress. I'm looking at the fellas and how they dress. Y'all trying to turn up tonight, and I get it. It's a beautiful night in New York City. So because of that, you may be in the club, you may be in the bar, you may not be a spot to maybe hit up your boy, but you may be listening to me in a headset or whatever. You may say, hey, I want to give EJ a call real quick, but I can't. How am I going to contribute to the show? You still can. Hit me up on social media, EJ_Stewart on X, Action EJ on Instagram. I will retweet, I will repost on the air, and we can go back and forth about what you think about where the Knicks will stand in the history of New York sports.